Factis Radio, FM 104.6, bringing the island's community together.
It's only, last time I got your name wrong, and you've been coming in, and I got you mixed up with someone else that does that. But it's the one, the only Lisa Beeny.
Thank you.
I got that right, haven't I?
You have got that right, definitely.
What was the lady's name that I got you mixed up with?
Sarah Beeny.
Sarah Beeny.
She's the one that renovates houses and has lots of money.
You're not related, are you?
No.
And she's got lots of money, yeah. So look, you've got lots of different hats on. And,
yes.
These conversations are so, so helpful because we learn lots of things about our home, how to keep it safe, energy efficient, and more importantly, save a few quid, but keep yourself, warm and toasty this Christmas or this winter.
That's the plan. I mean, our aim is to keep everyone warmer in homes that are cheaper to heat.
So, under the big umbrella of green olive white,
yep.
You've got Energy Wise and a few other things.
Yes, Energy Wise is our project that we're running that's funded by the Department of Energy Security and Net Zero, where we can go out and do free home surveys for people. They're energy surveys. We look at everyone's heating. We've got thermal imaging cameras that we use to look at the radiators and help people get their existing boilers set up properly, because if we can help you save money with what you've already got without needing to spend anything, that has to be a bonus.
Do you know what, why wouldn't anyone want to give you a call and say, can you come round, because you're going to learn something anyway? When you came round with your image thingy and you pointed it at our walls and it was quite apparent there was something amiss, and all of a sudden lots of things fell into place of why you got quite a bit of condensation and so on. I mean, everyone gets a little bit of condensation from time to time, but it was obviously, it shows up things that you wouldn't see. That's the issue.
Yes, I mean, it's like a lot of it. We all live in our homes. We get used to them and we get used to the way it feels and how much they cost to heat. But if you can't see it, you don't necessarily know that the issue is there.
Mm.
And if you don't know that the issue is there, you don't know that you need to do something about it. And even when you do know you've got an issue, knowing what to do can be hard. And also knowing if there's any government help available.
Well, that's we're going to come to that in a minute, but that is absolutely bang on. And it's don't feel alone. And don't feel silly either, because you don't, there's certain things that you think, well, you just take it for granted. And then you look at it logically and you think, well, actually, that's not right. And what you've been doing has not helped you at all. And it's those kind of things. And sometimes we feel a bit, oh, hang on a minute, I can't do right for wrong here. But sometimes it's just common sense and listening to someone else that has been trained and they know exactly what they're talking about, which is where you come in.
Yeah, but also our knowledge increases year on year as a race. I mean, what we know now with technology compared to what we knew 10 years ago or 20 years ago, the advice changes because the materials that we can put into homes for insulation and things change. The efficiency of things like solar panels change. The efficiency of heat pumps has changed. And that has a knock-on effect. So if somebody told you something 10 years ago, that may not be correct today.
Mm, that makes sense, doesn't it? We've moved on and things affect things. Anyway, look, we're going to come back to how you can get help, websites and things like that, because it's all there and there is a scheme in place which we'll come back to. But I want to talk about, there's two on the list, water savings and heat pumps. What do you want to do first?
I'm going to talk about heat pumps.
Okay.
Because I've had one installed at home. I live in a cottage that was built in 1790. So there's no cavity walls. It's just solid stone walls, solid floor. And it works with a heat pump. So I thought if I couldn't make it work in my own home, I'm in the wrong job.
Right.
Well, I am. But it's still been a learning curve, because although I've seen heat pumps running for demonstrations, when you have one running at home yourself, you actually get to know it a lot better. And one thing that has really surprised me is how quiet it is. And I've always known they were quiet, but you can stand next to it and you can hardly hear it. It really has been surprising. And when a car goes past, that seems to be so noisy in comparison.
Wow. That is, so I'm just trying to picture your thick walls and then having something state-of-the-art outside of it.
Yeah.
And it all works perfectly well.
It all works perfectly well. We've got the solar panels on the roof. We've got the battery to store the electricity. Now we've got the heat pump as well. So we are totally able to get rid of gas. And because we were on an LPG tank, it means I'm not having to pay for these gas fill-ups and pay the companies involved for what I think are fairly extortionate charges.
I'm with you there. You're not going to get an argument there.
No, so it's saving money. And on my maths, it's going to save us at least £200 to £300 a year. And last week, our electricity cost was £21. So that's for all of our heating, all of our hot water, all of our cooking, and charging both cars.
Wow. That's like...
For £21.
That's like 1970s prices, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's grief. Making all of this technology work together.
Yeah.
And you have to look at it as a whole. So it's making sure you're on the right electricity tariff. And having a smart meter helps considerably because then you can get some of the smart tariffs. So I'm on one that partly controls my electric car charger. So when we plug one of the cars in to charge, it looks at when there's going to be a surplus of electricity on the grid and it charges the car at that point. And for that, we get incredibly cheap electricity during those times. And also between 11:30 at night and 5:30 in the morning, I'm only paying 7p a unit for electricity. So it makes sense then to charge up the house batteries, to heat the hot water, everything that would be a high use thing we have running during that 11:30 to 5:30 slot.
Right.
And it's using all of this technology together that actually means that you can get your bills right down.
So you've got to be switched on with it. Although, you know, my wife is not massively switched on with technology. She's switched on with saving money. And she did tell me off the other day for using the slow cooker after 4 o'clock because we're on a new tariff, which you use after 4 o'clock, it's more expensive.
Yeah.
How do we get onto that then? How do we understand that? I guess this is where you come in.
Yeah, this is where we come in. And this is one reason I set up Green Isle of Wight is that we actually need to get this information out there and we need to have a somebody that people can talk to who will give them unbiased advice, who is qualified to do that and understands all the technology. So everybody working within Green Isle of Wight has a good background in all of this and can actually give good quality advice to people on how to set their homes up. And I went to one house this morning where one thing they're going to do is put some smart plugs in. So at night, from their mobile phone, they can tap on one button and it will turn off everything.
Right.
So making it easy for people to do this. Because if you have to go round your home thinking, yes, I've got this TV in this room and this over here, and it all needs to be turned off at the mains, then that people will gradually either forget or you think, oh, I won't worry about it tonight, it's only one night. That one night becomes two nights and then you're out of the habit. It's using technology to make things easy for people.
Okay, I've got two messages for people and they are quite simple. You just mentioned something then. If you are one of these people that leaves your mobile phone plugged in overnight, then you are wasting a whole load of electricity. You're burning out the battery on your phone and it could be a fire hazard. So maybe get one of these timers where you can plug it in, set a timer for an hour or two to charge your phone overnight, save yourself a whole load of trouble in more ways than one. And the other thing is, earlier on today, I kid you not, we had a phone call from someone that wanted to know who our energy supplier was. Now, there must be, and this is the positive. If you are on the Isle of Wight at the moment and you get a call, this is what I want you to do. You get a call from an energy company trying to tell you things. It's up to you whether you accept the call. It's up to you whether you go down the road of having a conversation. But my advice is put the phone down and then phone you. Because you're local and you are going to explain it and you're not going to rip people off. And there's no doubt in, is this a scam or not? So if you are frustrated by it, but interested enough to sort of be nosy, but you might get caught out, then just put the phone down and phone that number. What's the number?
01983 668 900. And I'd also add, members of our staff have had scam text messages coming through, all to do with the winter fuel allowance, saying that you might be able to claim it, click here. There's a lot of scam text messages going around as well at the moment, so
be careful.
And everybody who used to receive the winter fuel allowance will have some correspondence from a government department, and that will have a phone number on it. So if you get a text message or a phone call that you're not sure about, as you say, put the phone down. If they say they're from a government department, call back on a number that you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with credit cards. If you have a credit card or your bank phone you, put the phone down and call back the number on the back of your credit or debit card.
Okay. Just before we get off the subject of and get on to water savings, because I think this is fascinating, heat pumps. Just yes. Going back to heat pumps, do they obviously do the heating, they heat the water and your radiators as well?
Yeah, they do.
What else do they do? That's pretty much it.
I was really surprised at how little energy it's been using, and you can. There's an app for everything nowadays, but you can look up either on the app or on the thermostat-y controller-y thing that goes on the wall and see how efficiently it's running. And with ours at the moment, for every unit of electricity we've been putting into it, we're getting 4.4 units of heat out of it. So far it's been incredibly efficient, and well, I'm really pleased.
Good. Excellent.
I'll let you know in January how it's going.
That's the biggest test, isn't it? January, February. Yeah. When you get to March, you think, okay, have I, you know, not made a few quid, but have I saved a few quid? I mean, that's the story with most people. But just going back, just to reiterate, I can't stress this enough. If you get one of those calls, just put the phone down and make that call to someone local that can really, really help you. And there's no doubt of any scams, but the rest assured, there is certainly some help coming your way, some good advice, some sound advice. Do that. The other thing, the water savings. Now, you said you wanted to talk about this, but when you said it, I thought, yeah, do you know what? So do I, because I get frustrated when I see lots and lots of water. I get frustrated when you see lots and lots of puddles and so on, and you think, you know, why haven't Southern Water got a great big truck that can come around and suck it up and put it somewhere and store it, clean it, so we can use it at some point? But Let's look at our own houses. I would imagine we waste quite a bit. I would imagine that, because I'm just picturing seeing other kids when they were, it's bedtime, go and do your teeth, and they run the tap when they're cleaning their teeth, and they waste so much water. And back then, I would imagine it was peanuts. Now it's not. It's quite an expensive product, so you've got to be really careful. What other ways do you, when you hear stories of other people, how they're wasting water?
A few things. It comes under your home maintenance. Any dripping taps, they will be wasting a lot of water. And check your toilet overflows, because if your cistern isn't filling and is overfilling, then that will waste a lot of water. A lot of modern toilet cisterns now, instead of having an overflow pipe that goes outside, they'll actually overflow into the toilet bowl. So one easy way, if you want to know if that's happening, at night, just put one drop of food colouring into the cistern, and then the next morning, you should still have clear water in your toilet bowl. If it's coloured in any way, shape or form, that shows that perhaps your toilet cistern needs checking, because it may very well be overflowing, back into the toilet bowl, and you may not spot that during the day.
Okay. Staying with the toilet, mm-hmm. I mean, I've known about these two buttons, and you push one and you get a big flush.
Yep, and you push another and you get a little flush.
A little flush. I sort of put my finger in the middle and do the both, purely and simply because whenever I've done the separate thing, they always seem to be the same sort of flush. So maybe we ought to investigate our flushes.
We should do. I mean, a modern toilet now, the little flush should only use about 4 litres of water, and the big flush will be about 6 litres.
So it's a huge difference then.
It's 50% difference between the two.
Right.
So, but when you think back, an old handle flush toilet would have used about 14 litres.
Whoa! And is that why they put bricks in there?
And the toilet saver blocks and things, just to reduce the volume of water that you were using.
All right, so let's come out of the toilet now and pop ourselves in the shower.
Yep.
If you have a shower and it lasts longer than 4 minutes, just as well have a bath, is that right?
Yes, because of the volume of water, again, but also the cost of heating it. And if you have an electric shower, it's slightly different to if you've got a mixer shower that comes from a hot water cylinder or a boiler. But if you've got a mixer shower, when you get in your shower, put your shower on, get yourself wet, then you turn the water off while you put all your shampoo and everything on, then turn the water on again and rinse yourself off.
Okay.
The reason I say not to do that in an electric shower is when you turn it off to put the shampoo and everything on, you've got a small amount of water sitting right on top of the element within the shower that's heating the water. And when you turn the shower back on, you get a little bit of scalding hot water come out.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
So that's why I say an electric shower is a bit different.
Okay. So 4 minutes, though, and that's a max.
That's about the length of the average track on the radio.
And I just want to... Yeah, it is. It is, roughly, yeah. I just want to wish everybody good luck with policing the fact that you stop the water halfway through and then rinse yourself off. Yeah, shower inspection.
If anyone was in the Navy, that's what you're taught to do on a boat because right. Water is a finite resource. So you have a tank full of water and when it's gone, it's gone. So any sort of water saving is really useful. If you're running a bath, you don't need to fill it right up to the overflow before you get in it, because when you get in it, you'll be pushing the water down the overflow and it's gone.
Yeah.
So just fill it halfway up and then get in. You can always top it up a bit more if you need to, but it's thinking ahead of what you actually need. And then, do we actually need to shower as often as we do? Because most people, unless you're doing a job where you get particularly hot and sweaty or very dirty, we don't actually need to shower every day. I'm sure when you were younger, like when I was younger, you have a bath once a week.
Sundays.
Yes. Yeah, we didn't all shower every day.
No.
But if you think of what you're saving by cutting down on the number of days you shower, even if it's every other day, you're saving on the water, you're saving on heating the water, you're saving on the shampoo and the shower gel, so you're throwing away less plastic bottles, so there's less plastic waste either for recycling or ending up in the ocean. So making that one small change has a huge knock-on effect. It's also less wastewater going out through the sewage system. And we all know what happens every time it rains. It all ends up straight in the sea.
Yeah.
So
I'm not sure about that one, because I think we've been conditioned to shower every day. If you've grown up, you know, yeah, getting the shower every day, that's a difficult one to overcome. But then I think to myself, well, can you compromise, Ian, and have a two-minute shower? You know,
that would have to be pretty quick. Set a timer. I'd love to know.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll report back.
Okay.
I'll report back next time. Mm. We're going to go for 2 minute showers. Every other day is a 2 minute shower, and every other day is a 3 minute shower. Let's see if we can,
I'd still be interested to see if you could go every other day without a shower. Just break that habit.
You're right, it's a habit. Not sure I can or not, you know, because, you know, it's one of those things where I just like to get in the shower. But like I say, it's a mindset. And if what would happen? Would the world end if you didn't have a shower every day? I mean, you know.
Well, When I go backpacking, I'm quite often walking every day, carrying everything I need, and while camping, so there's no showers.
No.
And I can be out for a week.
Right. Okay.
At the end of it, the world hasn't collapsed.
No.
I may not want to look in a mirror, and I wouldn't necessarily give myself a hug, but right. The world hasn't collapsed.
Okay. Well, I'll report back in a month's time. Okay. On that, I've got one more question, because obviously water, and you've probably got a load more points as well to save water and so on. One of the things that we've had recently is, and you know about, we've got these dehumidifiers,
yeah,
and we're emptying them at least once a day. Mm-hmm. Now during the summer it's brilliant because they go out and water the plants, but where it's been reasonably wet recently, it's like, well, why would you, because you don't want to drown them. What's that water good for?
Flushing the toilet.
Okay.
So take the container into the loo with you. When you're finished, pour it down.
Pour it down?
Yeah.
Down the loo.
That's what a toilet flush does. It's pouring water into the bowl to push everything up and round the U-bend.
Okay, that's an interesting... Because just lately I've been thinking, well, you're wasting this. It's going down the sink every time. But now I've found a way. Yeah. So maybe I won't feel so bad about having a shower every day. Is there anything else you want to say? Any other super savings when it comes down to water?
It's little things. So if you're running water in the sink for washing up, use a washing up bowl, because that's a smaller volume, so you need less water each time. If you have a dishwasher, it can be more energy efficient and more water efficient to use a dishwasher than washing up. But you need to make sure you fill the dishwasher. So it's no good having a tap running, rinsing stuff under it, putting it in the dishwasher with that tap still running.
That's a waste of time.
And then only washing it with two things in there.
Yeah.
You need to fill it right up, but then that would save you water and it would save you energy.
That's like having a tidy up and getting the cleaner around, isn't it? So don't do it. Just put it straight in the dishwasher.
The dishwasher.
Yeah.
But fill the dishwasher. So
just like you would the washing machine.
Like you would the washing machine.
Don't just wash one shirt.
Unless you're, well, teenagers have this habit of looking at something, deciding they don't want to wear it and putting it in the wash.
But
yes, with a washing machine, that needs to be a full load. The half load button on a washing machine still uses 75% of the water and the energy of a full load. So yes, you're saving a bit, but you're not saving half.
Hey, look, we're running out of time, but I want to get the numbers out there and the website address as well. So, look, if you are wanting to know more and some advice on how you can get that cheaper energy costing, the tariff, you know, someone to visit and say, hey, look, this is wrong, this is right, and so on, then obviously they need to make that phone call and they need to go onto a website.
Yes, our phone number is 01983 668 900, and our website is greeniow.org.uk.
Brilliant. And next time you come in, it'll obviously be December.
Yes.
And you're going to give us some... Obviously, we're going into, like, cold snaps, cold times.
Yep.
And Christmas as well.
I know.
Because how do we save money? How do we do that? So I'm guessing you're going to give us some useful tips on what would be the topic then? Just Christmas? And
we just make Christmas the topic.
Okay.
Saving money at Christmas.
Because I would imagine there's an awful lot more wasted at Christmas time.
There is.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. All right, thank you, Lisa, and we'll see you in a month's time.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're coming back with Phil Collins in two ticks.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. Call us at PC Consultants on 01983 811 711 to find out more about our award-winning service.